So we're holding on page 40 in Shabbos, beginning Perek Bametonin, Ois Choches. Subject of this Perek is the Dinim of Hatmona. I said wrongly yesterday, by the way. Perek Kira doesn't really focus on Hatmona so much. It focuses, the first part of it anyway, on Shehiya, on leaving pots on the stove on, or in the oven on Shabbos, which is all another matter. But our Perek focuses more on the Dinim of Hatmona, of wrapping up or insulating a pot of food to keep it hot on Shabbos. So the Mishnah mentions, among the Mishnah talks about things that you're allowed to use and not allowed to use for Hatmana. The Gemara explains why that should be. Anyway, the basic idea is you're allowed to use things that keep the heat of the pot, but not things that add more heat. So among the things that preserve the heat, the Mishnah mentions kanfei yonah, you're allowed to use dove's feathers to insulate the pot. Not dafka doves, but that was the typical kind they used in those days. So having mentioned that, then the Gemara mentions something else involving kanfei yonah, which is the story over here. Omer Rav Yana, tefillin tzrichin guf naki ke'elisha bal knafayim. When you wear tefillin, you have to keep your body clean like Elisha bal knafayim, who's going to be the hero of the story. Now, we don't explicitly see in the story that he was careful about guf naki, but the point is, Tosfos says, since we're going to see that a nes happened to him involving the tefillin, we have to assume, automatically, we should assume that he was keeping the highest standards while he was wearing them. Tosfos also talks about, Tosfos talks about at some length over here, some various details about the mitzvah of tefillin, some of which are negeya as far as mitzvah tefillin. First of all, Tosfos says the fact that we don't wear tefillin all day long is based on this. The Gemara is going to say that it's very difficult for a person all day to be careful about these things. But then Tosfos goes on to say that, that we tend to be very careless with this mitzvah. And Tosfos discusses the whole matter of how kafkid b'lemanach tefillin. What does that mean? You actually find in the times of the later Balei HaTosfos, where it's there's a well-known thing that Rav Moshe Mikutzi, the author of Smag, went around on his own mitzvah tefillin back in his time, and went around, he writes in his sefer, he went around to many kahilas in France and in Spain, where they had gotten very lax with this mitzvah, and he went and was over them about the importance of it. So they started all the way back then, yeah. So, in fact, the Sefer Achinuch, which was written in the following generation after the Smag, he also, when he discusses the mitzvah of tefillin, he says you have many people who take the view, you know what, given that what we're saying over here, a person has to have proper kavana when he's wearing tefillin or whatever, maybe we're better off not encouraging people to wear tefillin, much like you have the same similar kinds of arguments were brought up beginning in Tafshin Chav Zayin after the Rebbe's mitzvah tefillin. And the Sefer Achinuch says, you know what, okay, people who make these arguments mean well, but the fact is, tefillin is such an important mitzvah, and it's such an important gateway to Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, that you should be making every effort to get Yidden to do it. So yeah, that argument is already, So yeah, anyway. So Maihi, the Gemara says, what do we mean by gufnaki? Abaya omer shalo yafiach them. A person has to be careful not to pass gas while he's wearing tefillin. Rava omer shalo yisham behem. Rava says it means he shouldn't sleep in them, because when he's sleeping with tefillin, he may pass gas, he may even have keri. But in other words, Rashi says, Rava's point is that if a person is careful not to sleep in them, we can assume the average person is able to hold back gas, so therefore that wouldn't be a problem. That wouldn't necessarily prevent a person from wearing tefillin all day long. Okay, the Gemara says, "Amai korele bal knafayim." Why was Elisha called bal knafayim? Shapam achas gozra malchus edom gzera Yisrael. One time the Romans made a gzera against the Jewish people. Shekolam aniach tefillin yinaku as moichi. Anybody who puts on tefillin, they'll poke out his brain. Actually, he says yinaku moshe nikur enayim, like when you gouge out a person's eyes, so they'll gouge out his brain. His brain, obviously, because that's what you wear tefillin on. But Elisha didn't worry about the Gzera, and he put on tefillin, and he went out into the marketplace. Ra'uhu Kastur Echad, a certain Kastur sees him. A Kastur is a Roman official. Rotzmiponov, so Elisha started running away from the Roman, but Rotzacharov, and the Roman is running after him. The Kivanchi Gia Esle, when the Roman came near Elisha, not one Melosha, he took the tefillin off his head, but oxen be yodai, and he held them in his hand. Now, Tosfos actually brings up a point, which is what happened to Yehoshua bar Yahweh. This was a shasta. This is a classic shasta shmad. This is the Romans are trying to outlaw all mitzvahs at that time. You know, the Gemara tells us you have to be mosen nefesh even to not to change your shoelaces to start wearing the goyish style shoelaces. So Tosfos answers. So actually, this story is also brought later on in the Masechta. The Gemara mentions over there that mitzvahs that Jews were weak in the past, then they're weak in them even later, and they're not as mosen nefesh for them. And it brings the story again. Tosfos over there brings actually from the Rashbam that we see that even Elisha was not ready to go to an actual mesiras nefesh on them when the caster meets up with him. He tries to hide the fact that he's wearing tefillin. So even Elisha, you could say the mitzvah was weak by him in that sense. Here, on the other hand, Tosfos says that the vort is, it's one thing a person actively goes and wears different shoelaces, for example, so he's making himself look like a goy. Over here, though, not wearing tefillin doesn't make a person look like a goy. Many people don't wear tefillin all day. So therefore, there's not such a problem with it. Anyway, he took off the tefillin and held them in his hands. By the way, we have to assume that he wasn't wearing dalet al dalet tefillin like we wear. You wouldn't be able to fit those in your hands. You know, he was obviously wearing those tiny little tefillin that sometimes they found in archaeological digs or the veldt, and they wear smaller tefillin anyway. The Roman says to him, "What's that in your hand?" He says, "Dub's feathers." Poshetes yoda, he opened up his hands, the nimsu kanfayona, and a nest happened, the tefillin had in fact turned into dub's feathers. From then on, they call him Elisha, the master of the feathers, or the master of the winds. And the word knafayim actually can mean both. So if one asks him, why specifically dove's feathers rather than any other kinds of birds? Meaning, in other words, that he had to say feathers, fine, he had to say something, and feathers is a reasonable thing to say, but why adapt the dove's feathers rather than some other kind of bird? So the reason is Mishum de Inter Knesses Israel the Yona, because the Jewish people are compared to a dove. Shenema, as the passage says, Kan fe Yona nechba bakes, the wings of the dove that are covered with silver. So the mitzvahs, in other words, are like the wings that protect the Jewish people, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. That whole parak, Kapitel Samaches of Tilim, is talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. So therefore it mentions the greatness of the Jewish people, that they have the wings of the dove. So what's the comparison? My Yonah Knefer Meginus Aleha, just like a dove's wings protect it. So Rashi explains, first of all, they protect it from the cold. And the feathers protect it from the cold and from other birds. And if anything comes to attack it, then it fights them off with its wings, unlike other kinds of birds. Pashtus, the idea is other kinds of birds will use their beaks, but a dove has doesn't have a very strong beak, so therefore it fights off attackers using its wings. A different explanation that some Mephoshim say is when a dove is in danger, it takes to its wings and flies away. So either way, the point is, afisur, mitzvahs, meginis, aleihem, the same way mitzvahs protect the Jewish people. And so they're called particularly the wings of the dove, and therefore, Elisha used that metaphor also when he's talking to the woman. This is, by the way, why when we wrap up our tefillin, also we make kanfayona of them, especially the shorosh, we wrap it up in such a way that it resembles the wings of a dove in token of the Gemara over here. Further on, the Gemara goes and talks about, now the Mishnah, again, mentions various things that you're allowed to do Hatzmona with, one of them being it mentions you're allowed to use animal skins for the purpose. So then the Gemara mentions, so the Gemara starts by saying, Yosef, Rav Yonasan, Ben Achinoi, Rav Yonasan, Rav Elazar, these two Chachamim are sitting together, and Rav Hanina Ben Chachinoi was sitting with them, and they were discussing a halacha about you can do Hatmona with skins. What kind of skins are we talking about? Aren't certain kinds of skins mukta? And so the Gemara has a whole sugya about that. Then the Gemara continues, by the way, since we're talking about these three Chachamim sitting together, they also had another discussion. So now they were wondering, when we say later on in Masechta that there were 39 Ovis Malachas, Keneged me, corresponding to what? Meaning, in other words, Tosfos explains the point of the question is that we learn the Malachas from the Mishnah, and that Gemara mentions further down on the Amud. but in the actual Gemara. But the question is, why dafka 39? In fact, you have, when you get down to it, some of the obvious malachas are very similar. For example, zoda, which is winnowing, boda, which is sifting out the pebbles or whatever from the grain, merakid, which is sifting the flour, all of those are very similar. You could have thought, yeah, why should those be considered separate others? No more so, for example, than, let's say, planting a seed and planting a branch are not considered separate obvious malachas. So why should these three be considered separate? So why did they dafka divide up the malachas in such a way that you wind up with a number of 39? So Amalei Reb Chanina bar Chama connected avodas haMishkan. So Reb Chanina bar Chama says, yeah, it corresponds to the main types of work that they do in the Mishkan, that they did in making the Mishkan. But Amalei Reb Yonis and Reb Elazar, Kach Amalei Reb Shimon Reb Yosef ben Lakunya. There's a different reason why dafka 39 connected Malacha Malachta Malachas Shabbat Torah Abon Chaser Achas. It corresponds to, if you count up the number of times that it says the in the Torah the word Malacha or Malachto or Malachas. Or on the bottom over here, it has a different gears, a malacha, malachton, a malachos, Shabbat Torah, and then you get to Abayim Chasachas. You get to 39. So corresponding to that is why there are 39 of the malachas. Mind you, Rishonim point out, or Reb Ben Hananel points out, and different other Rishonim and Achronim discuss the ins and outs of it. There actually are much more than that. There are actually around 60 times that it says in the Torah of the Shodosh Malacha. So why are we saying only 39 over here? So there's different possibilities. Maybe it's only malachtoy and malachas, or maybe there's various other reasons why the other ones don't count. Maybe, for example, many of them, it says in connection with the Yom Tovim, Kol Malachas Avodah Laisasu, maybe all those count as one, etc. There's different explanations. Anyway, so there are 39 of those, therefore corresponding to that, there are 39 other malachas. So now, Boy Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef asks, what about one particular time that it says Malachta in the Torah, by Yovei Abaisa Lassus Malachta, when it says by Yosef that he came into the house to do his work, and then Potiphar's wife tried to get him, Mimin Yonu Huayloi, is that one of the 39 or not? Especially if we're saying that there are 60 odd of them in the Torah, then there's a reason to know, but there's a reason to ask. But Omalei Abaye Velosi Sefer Torah Velimni. So Abaye says, what's the problem? Bring a Sefer Torah and count them, and we'll see whether you have 39 without that, or whether that has to be the 39th. Miloi Omer Rabbi Babachana Omer Rabbi Yechanan. After all, don't we have that Rabbi Babachana says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan in a different case, which Rashi says, I don't know specifically what that case was. He says, Loi Zozum Mishram Adshe Aviyu Sefer Torah Omanon. They didn't move from there before they brought a Sefer Torah and counted them. So what is this referring to? Rashi says, I don't know, because this line is also brought in Kiddushin. So Rashi says, maybe it's in connection with the Gemara in Kiddushin discusses that, it mentions over there, what's the middle letter of the Torah? It says the middle letter of the Torah is the vav of the word gochoin near the end of Parshas Shemini. So then the Gemara asks, when we say it's the middle, do we mean that it's exactly the middle, or do we mean that there's an even number of letters in the Sefer Torah, and it's one of the two middle letters? So the Gemara says, why don't we count them? And it brings the same line from Rabbi Baba Chana, Le'zozim Yisham. So Rashi says, maybe that's what it is. Originally, they were able to do that. They actually were able to bring a Sefer Torah and count them and find the answer. But the Gemara ends up saying over there in Kiddushin, we can't do that anymore. Even in the time of the Amoraim, they weren't so bucky and chaseiris v'yaseiris. We're not so expert to know which words in the Torah are supposed to be spelt mole with a vav or a yud and which ones without. And therefore, we don't have an exact count of the letters. So maybe it's in connection with that. Rashi says, in any case, that wouldn't be relevant over here. You're not going to say, obviously, that you're missing sometimes when it says malacha in the Torah. By the way, I mean, even in the times of the Gemara, we're saying they weren't baki and chaseiris v'yaseiris. Even now, for example, the Sefer Torah between most Kehillos versus the Yemenites have a number of differences, including a couple of differences, mole and chaseiris. But the actual halacha is, for that reason, and in Hilchos Sefer Torah, is that if you find a mistake in Chaseiris V'Yaseiris when you're laning, as long as it's not something that changes the meaning, or a letter from the Shurdish or something, you don't take out another Sefer Torah, because who says the other one is going to be more accurate than this one? Anyway, so now I buy. Yeah, you can have, for example, let's say the word Lavu Seichem. Sometimes it's spelled with a vav after the vase, sometimes not. I'm saying, so you have a Masoda. There is a Masoda about them, but I'm saying we have a slightly different Masoda than the Yemenites. There's, for example, you have, for example, the word by when Cain says, God will avoid him in his soul. So we have, as I think in our Sifra Torah, we have with a Vav after the Sin, and the Yemenites have it without, or maybe the other way around, I don't remember, but whatever, there's a couple minor differences like that, but in the Soda, but in any case, we're saying, even when there is a known Masur, you have, for example, also, for example, later on in our Masechta, in another piece of Ein Yaakov, the Gemara is going to point out a word that the Masurda of the Chachnei HaGemara was that a certain word is written Chosur. We have it in our Tanakh, we have it in Mullah. And Rabbi Akiva Eger over there in Gurion Ashas gives a list of about two dozen places all over Tanakh where we see many times where the Gemara had a certain Masurda about how a certain word is spelt, Mullah or Chosur, sometimes even where we learn halachas from it. Bruce, in our Sifra Torah, we have it different. So it's just, that's how it is. There's different Masurdas. So I'm saying, so you'll look at any Sifra Torah, as long as it was written correctly, then, yeah. How many letters are there? So, how many letters are? There's a lot. I mean, there's many different words that could be written Mullah or Chosur. So we have a Masurda on them. We have a Masurda. This one should be written Mullah, this one should be written Chosur. But suppose the Sefer makes a mistake and writes one Chosur where it's supposed to be Mullah or vice versa. We say that you don't take out a different Sefer Torah. I've come across mistakes in Sifrei Torah over my years in Leining, but those were actually mistakes that required a new one to be taken out because it was a blatant mistake, not Chasedus Yisera's sin. Anyway, you know, the answer could obviously be that if there was a difference in Chasedus Yisera's, I just might not have noticed it because after all, the words pronounced the same. So yeah. Anyway, the point is, Abaya says, so you're asking whether Avayav Abaya Salasis Malachta is one of the 39. Count them. Let's see how many Malachtas it says in the Torah. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef says, Kikam Asapdali. No, that's not, it's not that I don't know how many Malachtas there are in the Torah. My question is, Mishum Dichtiv, on the other hand, you have another Pasuk in Vayakov, HaMalacha Hoysadayim, where it says the Malacha was enough, where it says everybody's bringing materials for the Mishkan, and they told Moshe, you need to announce that everybody should stop bringing, and the the melacha was enough. So, meaning Yonavu. So does that count as one of the 39? And now, obviously, if you count Vayova Abayis Alas Melachta as well, then you're going to have 40, and that's no good. The point is, the word v'hamelacha hoisadayim, there's two ways of understanding it. You could understand that it means melacha as the work. In other words, they had done enough work already to prepare the materials for the Mishkan that now they didn't need to do any more. Now all they need to do is assemble everything together. Or it could mean that they had enough material to now start doing the work. So what does the word melacha there actually mean? So if you say the Hamalacha is a dayim counts, meaning that you would say that it means they have done a lot of work. Rashi gives, for example, let's say they had already beaten all the gold plates that they needed for the plating of the various kalim and whatnot. They had already done enough of that. And now all they need to do is start putting the gold plating onto the wood. In that case, then the word Malacha actually means Malacha. In that case, the Vayovah Habayis Alasis Malachta would not mean Malacha. It would rather mean that he was ready to be Mezana with Potiphar's wife. And then you have the famous thing that Demus Dreknishal Aviv, that the image of Yaakov appeared to him. Vayovah Habayis Alasis Malachta Miminyanahu. Maybe Vayovah Habayis Alasis Malachta does count, and it actually means Malachta. It means that he finished his work. And then Bahai Hamalocha Hoysadayim Hokikomar, and then the word Bahamalocha Hoysadayim would be the Shalom Le Avigdah, would mean that now they accomplished everything they needed to as far as bringing the Nedava. In other words, it wouldn't mean Malocha per se, it would mean just the job of bringing the things. So Teku, so it's left unresolved because we don't know, we have no way of understanding which one means actual Malocha and which one it doesn't, and therefore we have two possible ways of understanding what Vayova Abayis Alas Malachta does and what Vahamalocha Hoysadai means. So our Tosef points out there's two things you can get from that. First of all, like this, it helps us understand the Pesukim, especially by Yoveh Abayis Alas Malachta. We want to know, does it mean that Yosef was innocently going about his work and then Potiphar's wife goes and starts harassing him? Or does it mean that he was ready to give in already? Second of all, Akosef points out, you learn from this the importance of making simonim to remember things in your learning. Like this, we see that they made a simon, that there are 39 malachtos, and therefore, and then they're discussing the details of the simon. Marsha also adds over here that There's a symbolism then in the fact that the Mishnah uses the expression of Chaborin Choser Achas. Why not say Shloshim Batesha? And the reason is, based on our Gemara over here, that there are actually 40 Malachas in the Torah. But Choser Achas, one of them is missing. One of them, either Lasis Malachta or Val Malacha Oisadayim, shouldn't count. We just don't know, as Rabbi Yosef is saying, which one is which. That's the symbolism then of using the expression Choser Achas. There's other points in it. Api Chassidus, for example, there's places in Chassidus where it talks about the idea that the Malachas are Aborim Choser Achas, in the sense is there is a 40th Malacha to be done, which is the Malacha of bringing a Lakos into the world. So that we do on Shabbos, just not through the 39 Malachas. There's the idea that the Malachas themselves have to be permeated with that Echad. They can't be Choser Echad. There's also a point Rabbi Yitzchak makes in one of his writings that the miluyim of Shem Avaya, you have Shem Ma and Ban and so forth, the total number of letters in the four miluyim add up to 39 letters. So therefore, that's another reason why there are dafka 39 malachas. By the way, the Yerushalmi mentions that each of the 39 Elvis Malachas has at least 39. The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish spent a couple of years researching it, and they discovered for each one of the 39 Elvis Malachas, they were able to find 39 Tolvis. The Gemara goes on to talk about a discussion of matters involving Dovashen Miskaven on Shabbos, whether it's also a mutter. So that leads the Gemara into a discussion of using certain kinds of face washes or face creams or whatever, which may possibly make hair fall out. Where again, if Dovashen Miskaven is also, then you wouldn't be allowed to. If Dovashen Miskaven is mutter, then you would be allowed to, provided it's not psikiration. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, Amnemo, Mazutra, Ravashi, Habu Yasvi, the Soda, these three Chachamim were one time sitting at a meal. Aisul Kamayu Badra, or Barda, they brought before them Barda, or Badra, which the Gemara previously explains, that it's a wash or a cream where they would mix one third aloe, one third hadassim, and one third violets. And then they'd mix it together. They'd make a concoction out of all of that, and they'd apply it to their skin. So now they brought some of that to them at this meal. Amema Ravashi Mashu Yadayu. Amema and Ravashi use that to wash their hands. Like you go nowadays to the Saudish shawls, for example, they have by Abdullah, especially for Burman of the Summer, they have this rose water that they put on your hands, and that you smell that for Burman of the Summer. So this would have been something similar. Anyway, so Amema and Ravashi washed their hands with it. Mazutra did not want to wash his hands with it. Amrile, so they asked him, Lois Sovel, and this was on Shabbos. Don't you agree with what Rav Sheshe says that's mutter because it's not necessary, it might make hair fall out on your hands, but it's not psikresha, and it's dovashen miskaben, so it should be mutter. But Rav Mordechai tells them, Never mind what Mazutra is doing. The fact that he's not washing his hands has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. He would hold that you can't even wash your hands with this stuff on weekdays. The Savalok Yehai Tanya, he holds that what it says in a Braise, the Tanya, Megarer Odim Gildei Tsoyev Gildei Makom Al Besorei Bishvil Tzarei, a person is allowed to scrape off scabs of Tsoya, where we don't mean actual Tsoya, and that would prevent a person from davening, we just mean of dirt or whatever, like spots of dirt. The Gildei Mako, or scabs from wounds, May Al Besorei, he's allowed to scrape them off his skin, Bishvil Tzarei, because of his tzar, if they're itching or otherwise making him feel uncomfortable. The Im Bishvil Yapis Atzmei, but if he's doing it in order to beautify himself, Osir, then it would be Osir, because Lo Yovash Geva Simlas Isha, because a man is not allowed to do things such as like women do, and that includes beautifying himself like that. So Marzutra holds that washing with this Barda is also like what women do. Very much Ashkocha Pratis, by the way, today's Dafa Yomi also talks about the matter of Lo Yovash Geva, but in a different context as far as shaving hair under the arms or in the base of Erva. So, interesting that on the same day we have this concept twice. Anyway, so he holds you're not allowed to wash with it even on weekdays. By the way, Tosfos mentions another valid reason for tsar in that regard would be just if it looks bad on a person. He's going to go out with these scabs or whatever on him, and people are going to notice, and it's going to be embarrassing. Based on that, by the way, you have, for example, Rav Moshe has a tshuva on the subject of plastic surgery. Are you allowed to do that? A person wants to look nicer. Do they have a valid reason to go and get surgery for that? So usually not. But he says, for example, if it's because their appearance is taka unattractive, and it's giving them trouble with shidduchim, or it's giving them trouble with other reasons socially, then there can be a heter for it based on this, because tsar because that's included in tsar as well. We don't just mean physical pain, but also mental pain like that. Anyway, so the inhu command savarua. Well then, Rav Ashi and Ameimar, who did wash with the barda, command savarua. Who do they hold like? What do they hold as far as lo yobash geber? The answer is kihod tanya. They learn like what they hold like what it says in a brisa. A person should wash his face, hands, and feet every day. Because of the covered of Hashem who made him. First of all, Rashi explains, but Selam Alekim also as Adam. So therefore, a person needs to keep himself looking nice to be at Selam Alekim. Second of all, we know there's halacha, it's in the Sefer Brachas, that when a person sees beautiful people, you should say a bracha, shekocha loy ba'ilamai. So you want to be able to look handsome and attractive. So therefore, they hold that's not included in Lo Yobash Geber. Shenemar, Mishum Shenemar, which the pasuk says, Koil Pa'al Hashem Lamat Nehu. Hashem made everything for his purposes, meaning Hashem made everything for his glory. Shakol Baruch Vodai. So therefore, and Marsha adds, the face is obviously more Tselem Alekim. The hands and feet also are so to speak, they're closer in appearance to what you have Lamaila, because you have 10 spheres, and corresponding to that, you have 10 fingers and toes. So those are the parts of the body that more reflect Tselem Alekim, and therefore it's appropriate to wash them every day. And therefore they're holding that fine. Washing them with barda is not so bad either. It's not Lo Yobash Geber. Okay. The Gemara goes on to talk about the question of now throughout the parak we're talking about the idea that you have dinim as far as insulating or wrapping up hot food to keep it hot on Shabbos. What about the other way around? You have a bottle of cold water and you want to keep it cold, so you want to wrap it up so that it'll stay cold. So are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, also lahat min asatzonin." You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to insulate cold food so it doesn't get hot. Even though the reasons the Gemara explains earlier of why you're not supposed to do Hatmana, why you have rules as far as that you can only do Hatmana before Shabbos, and even then you can only use things that preserve the heat rather than increase it, is because you have concerns over there. There might be live coals in what you're using to insulate it, and then you're going to stir up those coals, and you're going to be over on Mavashal, and so on and so forth. So on the face of it, all that shouldn't apply when you're wrapping up cold food. Nevertheless, Rav Huna is telling us that it's still also. But the Gemara says, V'atnan, or V'atanya, Rebbe hiti lahatmen as a tzoynin. We learn in a braisa that Rebbe said you are mutter to do that. So the answer is, Loi kasha, homikame delishme, mirvishma, but Rebbe Yezi, holabosu delishme. At first, before Rebbe had heard from Rebbe Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi that it's allowed, then he held it's not allowed. And that's what Rav learned back from him, and in turn taught that to Rabbi. Eventually, Rebbe heard from Rebbe Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi that it's mutter, and then he accepted that, and therefore therefore the halacha is that it's actually allowed to. So what do we mean? What was the story? Kihad the Rebbe Omar, the Yosef Rebbe Omar. Rebbe was one time sitting and saying the halacha. Also, lahatmin asatzonin. You're not allowed to insulate cold food. Omar lefon of Rebbe Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi. Abba hito lahatmin asatzonin. My father, Rebbe Yossi, said you are allowed to. Omar, so Rebbe says, In that case, the elder Talmud Chacham has already said it's mutter. In that case, then I give up my opinion and I'm accepting his opinion. So we see that Rebbe changed his mind. So the Gemara says, Omer Papa, Boyurei Kam Machabvin Zes Zeh. Come see how much Chachamim love one another. Either of Yossi Kayim, if Rabbi Yossi had still been alive in Rebbe's times, he would have to be subjugated and sitting as a Talmud in front of Rebbe, meaning that because Rebbe is the Nasi after all, and therefore Rabbi Yossi, even though he's a greater Talmud Chacham, would have to sit with Kabbalah soil in front of Rebbe. And we know that the heart of Ishmael ben Rabbi Yosi and Mala Makam Avosim Hava, because we see that Rabbi Ishmael ben Rabbi Yosi fully filled his father's place. He was the same caliber as his father Rabbi Yosi. He was also a greater Talmid Chacham. And Rabbi Ishmael ben Rabbi Yosi was sitting with humility in front of Rabbi. So we see that Rabbi Yosi, if he had still been alive, would have done the same thing as well. Yet we see that Rebbe now says, when he hears of something that Rabbi Yosi says, he says the Zokin has already given the psak, which means that he showed that he's greater than him. Maharshal points out, it's not just the fact that Rebbe changed his mind, Tamil Chachamim many times changed their mind, but usually you have the rule is when a Tamil Chacham is and in fact once a Tamil Chacham has said something is mutter, you don't just go and say it's also. So once he finds out that Rabbi Yosi had previously declared it mutter, then that's how it should remain. The point that we see that from Chab ben Zeh is that he uses this expression kvar horazokin, that he's saying so respectfully the elder Tamil Chacham has already said this, implying that he shows that he's accepting Rabbi Yosi as being so much greater than him, even though he himself is the Nasi, and Rabbi Yosi himself would have had to be his Talmud if he was still alive then. Tosfos actually learns, what? Well, in other words, he didn't have to say that expression, Kvar Horazokin. That we said it would be a problem in the first place, because the same way as Hatmona with hot things is also so the same way the Chachamim would extend it to cold things as well, because people might not realize to distinguish one from the other. That was how Rebbe held originally. Tosfos also explains, by the way, that Rebbe started out as a Talmud of Rabbi Yosi, but Rebbe eventually became such a great Talmud Chacham that Rabbi Yosi would have been his Talmud if he had still been alive at the time. And nevertheless, Rebbe is still showing him great respect and great deference by saying Kvar Horizon. So the Gemara continues on this topic of hot and cold water on Shabbos. So Omelet Rav Nachman the Doru Avde, Rav Nachman one time says to his slave Doru, two things on Shabbos. Number one, Atmin Litzonin, or actually says it was on Shabbos. So first of all, he says, wrap up a bottle of cold water for me, and this was on Shabbos. And second of all, V'aisili Maya Da'achim Kthila Arma, second of all, bring me some hot water that a goy had boiled. Now that second part, Rashi explains, was on a weekday. The point is that water, that hot water, there's no problem with Bishul Akhir. So, Shomer Rav Ami Ichban, Rav Ami heard that Rav Nachman had said these things, and he objected to it, and he was makbid, and he was upset with Rav Nachman for doing that. Omer Rav Yosef, my time Ichban, so Rav Yosef says, what's the problem? Why is Rav Ami upset at Rav Nachman? Kedab Vosa Oven, after all, what he's doing is, according to Uliyur Rabbeim, according to Uliyur Chachamim, Chodaka Rab, Chodaka Shmuel. One of his statements follows what Rab says, and the other is what Shmuel says. Kishmuel, the one about wrapping up the cold food is like Shmuel. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel Mutu Lahakim is Hatzoinin, that Shmuel holds that you are allowed to. Meaning, in other words, we said before, Rab said it's also. Now, we said Rebbe changed his mind. Rab is not necessarily obligated to accept just because Rebbe changed his mind. Rab doesn't necessarily have to change his mind as well. So Rab may have stuck to his opinion that it's also. But Shmuel holds its Mutter, and it's perfectly legitimate for Rab Nachman to follow Shmuel in that. So what's wrong? And the Chirav, and as far as the part about the water, about the hot water boiled by a goy, what's the problem? That would be like what Rav says. The Amr of Shmuel Barav Yitzchok Amar Rav, Kol Shul Necho Kamos Shul Chai, anything that can be eaten as it is raw, Ein by Mishum Bishul Enochrim, then there's no issue of Bishul Akhrim with it. So what's the problem? But the Gemara says, well, who suffer? Odom Choshev Shiny, Rav Ami, though, held that an important person is different. If he starts being makel, even with things that are legitimate heterim, other people are likely going to be makel even further. And therefore, Rav Ami held that Rav Nachman should have held himself to higher standards and not done these things which other people might then misunderstand and take even greater kolos from them. The subject of the Perek is about what kind of equipment or gear or whatever is an animal allowed to go out, or you're allowed to have your animal go out with in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos and whatnot. You have different things. For example, you have things that are needed in order to keep the animal from running away are allowed, but only the actual thing that you need, not something stronger than it needs or something weaker that's not going to do any good. And you have different things throughout the parish of things that are allowed and not allowed. So the Gemara says, the Gemara had a discussion about now a donkey. The Gemara goes on to explain further down on the Omud in the Gemara, a donkey always feels cold. There are many places in Chassidus where it talks about that Bavoida, that a donkey therefore represents a person who feels a coldness in Avoida. Anyway, a donkey always feels cold, and therefore you'd want to put a kind of saddle blanket on it called a maudas in order to keep it warm. So there's a discussion in the Gemara whether you're allowed to do that, and also whether you're allowed to put a feed bag on an animal on Shabbos, because is that really necessary for the animal? Like this, I mean, it's a nice treat for the animal. This way, it doesn't have to bend down and graze or whatever to get the food right out of the bag or tied to its mouth. But are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, "Kisolit Reb Zera." When Reb Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Reb Binyamin Bar Yefes, the Yosef Gomar, like Mishmed Reb Yechanan, he found Reb Binyamin Bar Yefes was sitting and saying a halacha in the name of Reb Yechanan. Noistin Maudas Al Gabi Chamor B'Shabbos. You are allowed to put the saddle blanket on a donkey on Shabbos. Omalei. So Reb Zera tells him, "Yishar, well said, like Yashikoyach." V'chein Tirgumar Aryeich B'Bavu. You should know that Aryeich also explained it that way in Bavu. So Gemara says, Aryeich Manu, who is named Aryeich? That is Shmuel. Now, why is Shmuel called Aryeich? So this point that Shmuel is called Aryeich is mentioned in a few places in Shas. So, and there's a number of different points. Rashi over here explains that Shmuel was very expert in Dine Mominus. In fact, the halacha is generally like Shmuel and Dine Mominus against Rav. And he was judging people like the way a king judges. So therefore, there's a word in Aramaic for king, Richa. So therefore, Aryeich is related to that. So therefore, they call their nickname Shmuel Aryeich, which means the king. Tosfos explains further that it's not just any name of a king. There are lots of kings out there, but we actually find the name, we actually find a king of that name in Chumash, Aryeich Melech Halasser. Furthermore, Tosfos points out that you have the word Ari in it, which means a lion. So therefore, that also represents Shmuel's greatness in Torah. There's different other places, where Rashi gives a few different explanations. There is also a vote that's brought in Sefer Yochsin. Yad Yosef brings it over here on the side that we know the halacha is generally like Shmuel and Dine Mominus, but not outside of Dine Mominus, not in Dine Isser Vehetu. So therefore, Davka, they use the name Aryeich, which is Melech El Losser, which suggests the word Al Isser, not in the case of Isurim. So Shmuel is the king, but not when it comes to Isser Vehetter, then Rab is the king. There is also, somebody wants to explain that Aryeich was the name of the, was one of the names of the king of Persia who also ruled over Babel at that time. And so the same way as we find in a few places in Chas where Shmuel is called Shabur Malka, which was the name of the next king, the same way in a few places is called Aryeich, which is the name of the earlier king. Anyway, whatever the case, Reb Zera says that Aryeich explained it, which is Shmuel explained it that way in Babel. So the Gemara asks, why is he only mentioning Shmuel? Well, Rav Nami Omra, the point about being able to put a saddle blanket on a donkey, Rav agrees with that also. So you should have said both Rav and Shmuel say that. Ella said no. Rather, it's not just because of the saddle blanket. Shame Dav in the Sion Bay, Reb Zera heard Reb Binyamin Bayefis said not only that point, but he also continued the next part of the halacha, the intern traskel b'shabas, you're not allowed to tie a feed bag onto an animal's mouth on Shabbos, because that would already be considered when the animal is walking around the Chasarabim, that would be considered carrying. It's not really necessary for the animal. It's only a tiny for it. Omula Yishar, so now, on that, Reb Zera is telling him, Yishar Yashkoyach, V'chein Tirgum Aryeich B'Bavel, because that's how Aryeich said it in Bavel, because the Gemara established earlier that Rav holds you would actually be able to put a traskel as well. Shmuel disagrees. He says, Mardas, yes, because the animal will be very uncomfortable, it'll be cold, but a traskel not, because it's only for the animal's pleasure. So now Reb Zera is telling Reb Binyamin Bar Yefes that what you're quoting in the name of Reb Yechanan agrees exactly with what Shmuel says. Habona at the bottom of the page points out that there's two things that a king is supposed to accomplish. He's supposed to judge the people, and he's supposed to fight on their behalf. So now Shmuel accomplished both those things. He was a bucky in judgment, and in Dine Mominus, as Rashi says, and he was judging. And number two, as Tosfos says, that he also the word Aryeich contains the word Ari, so he was also powerfully fighting on behalf of the Jewish people of his time. Therefore, he deserves that title Aryeich, because those are the two things that a Talmid Chacham needs to be accomplishing. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. You have the in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch that there's the minhag to say the parashas Anasi, the parasha of the particular Nasi who brought the korbanos that day. So now the Rebbe talks about Nesicha, that Yesh Loimar, that this minhag of reading the parashas and Nesiim in Nisan has to do with the whole concept of Geula in Chodesh Nisan. Nisan is the Chodesh of Geula, the Nisan Nigal, the Nisan Asidin Legal. The very name Nisan itself includes the word Nes. So therefore, we read in the month of Nisan, we read the korbanos of the Nesiim at the Chanukah Mishkan, because Chodesh Nisan is the most appropriate time for the Geula Amitis Vashlema, and then we will have the Chanukah space in Mikdash HaShlishi, which is that completes the job of the Mishkan and the Mikdash, and therefore, so we read about the Chanukah of the Mishkan at the time when we're most likely to have the Chanukah of the Beis Mikdash. Continuing with halachas on fragrances. So far we said if it was a fruit, then it's if it's something else from a tree, wood or bark or what have you, then you say boda acts of the summim. If it was from an herb or something like that, then it's boda isfei the summim. And now if it's none of the above, for example, musk, then you say an bomin of the summim. Another example, he says would be certain kinds of mushrooms that when they're dried have a good fragrance. So there also, he says, nearly, it seems to me that you should say Bermin of Asamim, because again, mushrooms are, even though they grow on the ground, halacha doesn't consider that they actually get their nourishment from the ground, they get their nourishment from the air, that's why they're shakol, so by the same token, they'd be Bermin of Asamim. Then another halacha, you have this Shemen Afarsamin balsam oil that grows in Eretz Yisrael. We had earlier in our Masechta, we had a short piece about it, where even the Rosaradin, it said, left behind in Eretz Yisrael after the Churban, left over certain people who were experts at collecting and producing that. So because it's so important, it grows in Eretz Yisrael, so the Chacham set up a special bracha for it. You say the bracha Bodesh Shemen Orev that Hashem created fragrant oil. Hanani ben Akasha, Matzah, Chodesh Baruch Hu, Zakas Yisrael, Pichu Belam, Kamitzah, Shnema, Adventure, Matzah,